the basis of every merger also comes the challenges with trying to figure out what you don't know, what you can't see, you know, those unknown items. And just digging deep into each of the service areas, you know, we usually discover about, you know, 80% real quick off the top. But, you know, that other 20% takes an insurmountable amount of time sometimes to actually get all the detail you need.
From InterSystems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
We're here today with Randy Mabe, the Director of Cardiology Informatics at Integris Health. Randy, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So Randy at Integris Health. So Integris Health is Oklahoma's largest health system with 14 hospitals and 1,500 beds. Integris Health also has rehab centers, physician clinics, mental health facilities, independent living centers, and home health agencies located throughout Oklahoma. Randy, there are a number of topics that we're going to cover today, many different projects you're working on. I'd like to kick it off by asking you to tell our listeners a bit about your acquisition of a heart and lung transplant area.
Well, that just recently happened, Jordan, and it was something that's been toyed with for the last, you know, several years in trying to see how we can seamlessly provide more of a better infused cardio service line. So we just acquired the heart and lung transplant area December 1st of last year and are continuing to make changes in staffing arrangements, acquisition arrangements for heart and lung organs. We're also trying to streamline efficiencies in clinical and admission spaces within the hospital as well.
And what are some of your, what have been some of the challenges from an informatics perspective with integrating the new cardio service line in terms of integrating different sorts of data from different sources? What have been the challenges?
Well, I think when you acquire any new asset or department or anything that you're looking at in healthcare data, you're always trying to find, you know, what CPT codes are going to be there, what DRGs are going to be looking for, and, you know, just really trying to culminate the vast amount of data that you have to go through. In this instance, just trying to discover some of the trending information, volumes, costing data to get a better handle on exactly what types of, you know, barriers are going to be there, and then also looking at forecasting out for the next 5 years.
Uh-huh. And so for our listeners, so M&A is a big topic across the United States, and many of our listeners may not be directly acquiring a heart and lung transplant service, but their employers, these large health systems, are acquiring different imaging practices, provider practices, et cetera. This is very common for many of our listeners to be handling mergers and acquisitions. So what sort of advice would you have for them? What are some lessons that you've learned? I know it's kind of recent over the last few months. You know, your leadership identifies, okay, here's some heart and lung transplant area service. We're going to acquire them. Okay, they make that decision. Then what's next? What happens? How did you bring it on online? And what kind of things do you wish you would have known a few months ago when the process started?
Well, to start out on the more simplistic side, you know, when you're doing a merger, you know, the best thing to do is take the resources that you have internally that have a very deep and familiar intelligence about what type of acquisition you're going through. And we leaned hard on the leadership for the heart and lung area as well. So, you know, getting those grassroots details help kind of build that foundation that you're looking for when you're trying to, you know, merge in new areas or service lines. So really the basis of every merger also comes the challenges with trying to figure out what you don't know, what you can't see, you know, those unknown items. And just digging deep into each of the service areas, You know, we usually discover about, 80% real quick off the top. But, that other 20% takes a insurmountable amount of time sometimes to actually get all the detail you need. And I think in this case, we really did, find some challenges in trying to, one, truly understand every component in this merger and acquisition, and, finding out the regulatory components in the background that you have to now deal with as part of your integrated workflows and your business decision-making processes. So I think those are some of the bigger challenges, is really discovering how deep you need to go into those regulatory processes and some of the fundamental processes that you may not get those details on up front.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So we've now brought a new heart and lung transplant service into Integris Health. Now we're looking at utilizing a new event monitoring device from Biotricity. Tell me about some of the challenges with bringing that online and what kind of issues you've been handling on that project.
Well, previously in our clinics, we've leaned heavily on Holter monitors that were, they've been tried and true technology for years. But the issue with those types of devices is that you bring the patient in, place the monitor on the patient, they go home, wear the monitor. Sometimes they may bail it back or come back in and we take it off of them. But during that process, we have no idea of if a lead falls off or if, the patient takes a shower and the device quits working. There's a lot of unknowns with that older technology. And then when you get it back, you have to dock it, do the report, and then you do that, put that into the EMR, and then let the physician report on it. With this new technology through Biotricity, utilizing the BioTrace device, as soon as the monitor is placed on the patient, we actually start getting real-time data that can be viewed through their website. And also the patient can download an app on their phone and also see that information live. So it does give us a lot better functionality and stuff. We can also change the function of the device during the wearing session. So if it's a 48-hour Holter and we want it to become an extended event monitor, all we have to do is make a check in the software and it can extend it out to 7 days, 14 days, et cetera. And we still have that full functioning capability. So one, it's a better process for the patient. It's a better process for the provider because we're getting that real-time data. And it's just a thing that has never been accomplished before in my tenure here at Integris.
I'd like to ask about the implications of these outcomes. For example, now that you're able to get real-time data, are you seeing improved patient satisfaction, improved patient health outcomes? It sounds like you may have a reduction in staffing hours required to dock and report and monitor these devices once they're returned, a reduction in logistics costs associated with tracking and getting these devices returned. Is that true? And really, back to that first part, what is the health implication or the revenue implication on the company?
Well, the outcomes, it's still kind of in the early stages. We just deployed this new device back in November. So we're still in the early stages of that, but all the providers that have patients utilizing these devices have been extremely happy with the reporting, the ability to see things in real time, the ability to change the monitor type from a Holter to an event monitor, and it has significantly reduced the amount of time that our technicians have to deal with the devices and the reporting capability. So we also have the ability to now bill out items utilizing this device that we couldn't before, utilizing the Holter, because previously we used a device that was a patch. And when we utilized that, that company got all the technical revenue instead of us. So we're seeing gains in income and revenue from utilizing this device as we move through trying to deploy it more frequently than when we had what we have previously.
All right, so I hear new gains in revenue, reduction of operating costs, and improvement in provider and patient satisfaction, right?
That is correct.
Wonderful. There's another use case similar, remote monitoring for device implants through Octagos. I guess that's somewhat, tell me what's going on with that project.
Well, traditionally, remote monitoring was a process to where you actually had, you know, four or five different software portals monitoring each of the patient's devices, depending on what brand of device they had. And those would be out on their websites. Then you would have to take that data and put it into another piece of software, which we use PaceArt here for that process. And you can actually, you know, culminate all those things in one spot. But the thing is that software is not timely and really telling you what is outstanding on your cycle processes. So we went out and looked for other software. We evaluated several vendors. This was done a couple of years ago and it was a very new technology. But utilizing this platform, we can bring all of those different vendors' portals underneath one platform that is now integrated with our Epic EMR, and we can actually have everything at our fingertips from the time that the check is done, the report's processed, and then even now we're getting billing information through our interface as well to match up. So it really makes it a lot more seamless for everyone, and then we can also, like I said, get our frequencies back in check. You know, we got devices that you can have 12 billable items within a year. We were seeing previously that we're only doing about 5.8 on average, and that number continues to increase utilizing the software, getting closer to that 12. We know that will never be a true you know, possibility, but at least we'll get close.
So is there an integration engine that's taking the data from the device implants and embedding it within the Epic EHR instance, or is Octagos doing that on its own?
Octagos is doing all of that information transfer through their platform.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's see here. On the topic, kind of relevant to the first topic, M&A, there's a lot of going on over at Integris Health right now. A new heart hospital is going to be completed in about 18 months. You know, we're talking about acquisition, but now you're actually developing a de novo facility. What are the implications for IT and for your team informatics?
You know, building out any new facility, you always again have the logistics component, and you know, those are the challenges that we're really trying to work through now, is, you know, how different will the movement of patients be in our facility building on this new tower? You know, and within my area, we manage all of the CVPAC software and the hemodynamic systems that will go into the new cath labs and hybrid OR rooms inside that facility. So again, we're, you know, trying to pre-plan as the building goes up to make sure that we have the appropriate IT accommodations for chaseways, connectivity, power, you know, and with any big building project, which we've seen over my 24 years here, I've seen many, many new hospitals and facilities being built, which I was involved in on multiple levels. But, you know, the biggest part about building on this heart tower, which has been something that's been tried multiple times throughout my years here at Integris, is that it is going to be a standing beacon for the community in the terms of heart hospital, because with our programs, we do everything from the beginning to end when it comes to cardiac care. Since we do cardiology, you know, we have invasive cardiology, we do heart transplant, we do mechanical parts. Well, so it's everything.
Let me ask, I think many of our listeners have healthcare delivery systems that have probably multiple cardiac units. and they may be interested in hearing what are some of the newest trends, right? So at Integris Health, you have all these cardiology units, you know, you have 14 different hospitals, you have units in each hospital, and then you're building a new hospital. What's new and improved, especially from an informatics perspective? What's different, right? They already know what they have, but what is being incorporated in the new hospital that our listeners may not have, and why, how is it adding value?
Well, I think that the stuff with the new heart tower going up is the fact that we're now going to have an entire service line operating in the same area, utilizing the same resources when it comes to cardiac care. We do a lot of research on different types of implantable devices in the heart and lung area. So we have a TAVR program, Watchman program, which are considered to be some of the more complex procedures and devices utilized in cardiac care. We also do lung valve implants and LVADs and all kinds of assist devices. So, you know, when we're trying to talk about a program in the state of Oklahoma, we're really the only facility here that does a transplant program. Mm-hmm. So we bring a lot to the table whenever it comes to any type of research coming out of new companies or existing companies with new devices. Mm-hmm. We've got several providers here that are always on the forefront of utilizing those devices in patients where applicable.
You're also integrating a new video telemedicine program in cath labs with MedInbox. Tell me about the motivation for incorporating that and the implications.
Well, the MedInbox solution provides our caregivers the ability to actually have a look in from other facilities. So with our partnerships outside, we can have experts abroad or in the States actually look in on the case, provide feedback. We can also utilize the technology to record sessions. So if we are doing, you know, something new with some type of device, we can record that actual case and make it available for training to our other providers that are interested in utilizing that implant or technology. So it provides a lot of robust capability that we have not had inside the procedure room previously.
Interesting. So it sounds like external consults and recording, which is helpful for education, especially when new implants or technology are used. Mm-hmm. We're kind of, we have a few more items to get through in a few more minutes. So you spoke about an upgrade on merge to CV packs.
Yeah, that's the merge CV packs we've actually had in this system for several decades now. And, you know, this is one of the challenges that I found over the years is when you're an early adopter of a technology, regardless of usually what it is, you get what I call legacy residue that makes it to where sometimes it's not as easy to upgrade to newer versions due to hardware constraints and other items that may be a financial impact to your organization. We are upgrading to the latest version on cardiology packs. You know, as like I said with earlier, we're finding out we need new hardware, you know, expanding our current archive for imaging, things like that. That when you're blending in a new environment, you're taking legacy pieces and trying to figure out how they fit into the new architecture.
I know InterSystems has many customers and there are many listeners to this show that have been early adopters and our listeners are interested in, all right, so I've been an early adopter maybe a few decades ago. Kind of any recommendations for how you should kind of handle being an early adopter and then seeing the product mature and looking to upgrade later?
Yeah, and I think that the thing that happens, you know, with every organization and leaders is that you get busy, you get tied up in what's in front of you, and often you don't keep up with what has been there and worked for a long time. So I think, taking a close look, at least, on probably an annual basis, if not, sooner than that, you should probably review those systems more often and make sure that your technology is lock and step with upgrades that are available, integrations that are possible with other resources inside your product portfolio. We bought TomTech to do auto strain on our ultrasound echoes, and we installed it and found out that the version of CV packs we were on would not let us fully use the TomTech solution because of the software version not being compatible. So again, it is one of those things that really behooves a company to just make sure that you're up and always on the latest greatest and make those investments into the technology to make sure the platform is up to date.
Well, Randy, we've covered a lot of ground. We are approaching the end of this podcast episode. We've spoken about the acquisition of Heart and Lung Transplants. On a similar note, we spoke about building a new cardiac tower. We spoke about device monitoring that brings data into an EHR, brings data to providers in real time, and some video medicine bringing expert help into the OR. Any kind of final points you'd like to make to our listeners?
Well, we covered quite a bit today, Jordan. It's one of those things of being in this business for a long time. I think that, my everyday job is always relying on those around me and keeping my ears and my eyes open. So, that is the biggest thing, is not sealing yourself off from what's there in the daily work and making sure that you listen when people are saying something within your team. So I think that's been the biggest driver in us keeping our, ball rolling downhill, if you will. So, I always appreciate a good team.
All right. Well, this has been Randy Mabe, the Director of Cardiology Informatics at Integris Health. Randy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.